The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know it? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Help me. To still waters. Restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. This is Psalm 23. Who knows it this morning? Let's stand and say those verses together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me to lie still waters. He restores my soul. Of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Good job. You can have a seat. Wow, those are the first three verses of Psalm 23. It's our memory verse this week for Core 52. Hopefully you will learn it with us. How many of y'all have heard Psalm 23 before? You just did. Woo! Just the beginning. It's famously called the Shepherd's Psalm because of those first few words, and we'll talk about it a little bit later of why that's important. But Psalm 23 is one of the most famous, one of the most quoted scriptures in all of the Bible. You've probably heard it in movies like Titanic and others. You've probably seen it in literature or artwork about it. You've probably heard it in songs from everybody from Kanye to Tomlin. I mean, it is a famous, famous poem in scripture. And it's written by King David, who was a shepherd. A shepherd. It's a phenomenal passage. In fact, it's one of my favorite places in scripture. And I'm so excited to be able to share it with you. You might have heard it in a funeral. You know, maybe it kind of brings back memories of joy or grief because of that. Maybe it was your grandma's favorite psalm, you know, and she heard it. Or maybe you memorized it in vacation Bible school. Who remembers those? You know, yes, Psalm 23, such a special, special place in Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd. Wow. So much to unpack, so much to think about. As we do this. Now, our Psalms playlist, so we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks, and just to a very special place. We've skipped from Psalm 2 all the way to Psalm 23 now, but we're hitting some of the real highlights in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 23, to me, is just worth memorizing, worth internalizing and living out in our lives. In fact, if you look through the scriptures, you find out that all through the Bible that shepherds and shepherding is very, very special to God. All the way back in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, we read about a man named Abel, the son of Adam, who was a shepherd. We've talked about a couple of these very important people already in our Core 52 series. We've talked about Abraham, Moses, and King David. Guess what they had in common? They were all shepherds. Yes, shepherds just have a special place in God's heart. In fact, it was King David who wrote Psalm 23. And in one of our psalms in the playlist, if you scroll down to Psalm 78, you find out that God chose David as a servant and took him from the sheep pens. He literally, a shepherd, from tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people. And David shepherded them with integrity and skillful hands, he led them. That's what shepherds do. Now, I know in America today, in 21st century, you know, it's kind of hard to get our mind around what shepherds are and what they do, but it's really not uncommon in other parts of the world. In fact, a year ago when we were in India, we saw shepherds everywhere. I'm pretty sure that we would have ran over hundreds of goats while we were driving around India if it wasn't for the shepherds keeping them safe. In fact, when I was in the Holy Land a number of years ago, this is actually the headpiece of a Bedouin shepherd. He were selling them, so I grabbed one. I said, I might be able to use this one day. Shepherds, they still exist. They're still very, very, very important people in society, a lot of other societies. Now, we know that they're a low-level job, even kids. We saw a lot of kids, you know, guiding and shepherding goats and sheep and things like that when we were in India. But we also know that shepherds have a lot of responsibility. We're talking about people's livelihood, their flocks, their income. There's a lot of responsibility with being a shepherd. They're in charge of leading the sheep and protecting them and caring for the flocks. And I look at shepherds and I think, oh man, there's something humble, something gritty, you know, something kind of cool about being a shepherd. I mean, I relate them kind of to cowboys. You know, I don't know if you grew up watching cowboy movies, but, you know, under the open range, you know, just kind of ready for the enemy if it, you know, if they come upon just very important people, shepherds. And King David's stories actually remind us of this. You might remember David killed lion, bear, even Goliath, the giant, with something as simple as a slingshot. I mean, just like, oh, a shepherd did that? Yeah, David, integrity, skillful hands. All through the Bible, we see this, and we also see that shepherd and shepherding is one way, one of God's favorite ways of referring to himself. He calls himself a shepherd. It's pretty cool. He shepherds his sheep. But in the Bible, God doesn't literally shepherd sheep. He shepherds people. So that makes us sheep. Now, I know sheep get a bad reputation. I'm not going to get into all that. But you know, so before we get all like, man, sheep, I'm no sheep. You know, look, it's about the shepherd and following him and depending on him, knowing that he will protect us and care for us. Now, many people and many passages in the Bible actually talk about God being a shepherd. God being a shepherd. In fact, in Psalms, in our playlist, we read many of them. If you scroll through those again, you're going to find God being a shepherd in there. We see it in Psalm 79. We see it in Psalm verse 80, chapter 80, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 7. Psalm 100, one of my favorite Psalms, verse 3, says, "You know the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." God the shepherd. And not only in the Psalms, but we see shepherds and shepherding referred to by the great prophets. We see it by Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, Jeremiah 31. One of the greatest passages in Scripture about shepherding is found in Ezekiel chapter 34. I encourage you to go back and read that. It's just a great passage. The major prophets, the minor prophets like Micah and Zechariah 9:16 talk about the shepherd and shepherding and how God relates to us that way. The Old Testament. Later in the New Testament, we see Jesus's birth account. You remember the Christmas story? And who were the first people to hear about the birth of the Messiah? Yeah, the shepherds who were watching over their flocks by night. And we see Jesus himself referring to his ministry in shepherding. I love Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus looks upon the people and he sees that they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he has compassion on them. It's a great passage, Matthew chapter 9, Jesus the shepherd, Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, Mark 6, 1 Peter 2, Revelation 7, all about shepherds and shepherding in the New Testament because they're very special to the Lord. So what I'd like to do is go back to Psalm 23 and just kind of unpack this a little bit and kind of look at it. Not going to go super deep into the teaching. You can do that on your own. But I just, man, we've got to read this thing together. I mean, it's so much more than just a feel-good, you know, famous poem that we read during special times in our life. There is powerful, powerful truth here. In fact, three things really jump off the page as we read through Psalm 23. One is that it shows us how God cares for his people as a shepherd. Secondly, it shows us what biblical servant leadership looks like. And then thirdly, it shows us the greatest example of both, Jesus, who is the good shepherd. It points us to Jesus. So if you have Psalm 23, I just want to invite you to go ahead and open that up in your scriptures. Many of you have memorized it in the King James. If you have that, if you have other versions, it all pretty much sounds the same. But I'm going to go ahead and use the ESV on the screen. If you're watching online, go ahead and open Psalm 23 as we go through it together. And as you do, as we get there together, just kind of picture King David writing this psalm. Just think. Put yourself in his place. A king, maybe leaving the busy, nonstop life of a king, the pressures, the expectations, temptations of a king, and walking outside and finding a green hill somewhere, where he's just able to reflect, take a deep breath. And maybe David sees off in the distance a shepherd like he used to be, tending his sheep. Maybe there's a pond of water nearby. The breeze is blowing in his face, and he just worships God. He's thinking back. He's thinking about where he's come from. And he puts his pen to paper. You ever feel like that? Just need to get away. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. So simple, but so powerful. You see, this is a very intimate thing that David is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not talking about the past. He's not looking to, he is my shepherd right here, right now, in the middle of whatever we're going through. He is my shepherd. All the sheep, he's my shepherd. We just sang that song, Good, Good Father. He is my Father. Just take that in. So personal. He is mine, and I am his. We belong to him. He knows your name. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, literally in the Hebrew, this means I will lack nothing. I will lack nothing. Shepherds take care of their sheep. What this means is that the shepherd will provide or make a way for the sheep to have the essential things that they need in life. And I can just see David just kind of watching over, thinking, yes, that's exactly what a shepherd does for his sheep, and that's what God does for me. And I don't know where you came from today, but I can promise, man, with the culture, the way that it is today, it is nothing but want, want, want. Yes, you do. You want, you want, you want. You turn on the TV, you turn on social media, you're bombarded with what everybody else has, with the next vacation, with the next thing you want to drive, with what your next door neighbor just bought, with whatever's going to happen. It's like want, want, want. Which makes me want to ask, who is my shepherd? Is it culture? Or is it really the Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2, he, the Lord, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, I know this is like, makes me, like some of us are like, and if you're like me, it's like, make me, man, you ain't making me do anything. All right? Well, listen, I know that's pop. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know that God is God and you are not? All right, so if God is God and you are not, would you possibly be willing to give him permission to make you do something that you might not want to do? Like lie down and rest. I mean, think about it. This is exactly what's happening here. Makes me. I know it sounds like a control thing, but God is our leader. He is our shepherd, and we have to give him permission to make us do things like rest, like lie down and take it easy. And I know you're thinking, man, look, if we won't do it ourselves, he'll make us lie down. And if sometimes it happens to our body. Anybody been there? I mean, I've been there. It's like, man, I just go, go, go. And then all of a sudden, what is going on with my body? It's like, I don't have a choice now. I've got to lie down. And such a great time to be able to realize that God wants what's best for us. And he actually leads us to green pastures to eat. Y'all, green is good. It's life. Still waters. Still waters are awesome. I mean, y'all love the water, right? I mean, we just like being around the water. Look, these words can be taken literally. Like, get outside. Leave the palace. Go outside where the green is. Go outside where the water is and take in the Lord and worship and rest. Rest well. Eat well. And if I could just get spiritual for a moment, just to take it beyond the literal, man, God's word. God's word is green with life. If we just eat it and partake of it and see that it is sweet, that the Bible is good, we can eat it, and living water. Living water for us to drink. makes us lie down in green pastures, leads us to still waters. In verse 3, he restores my soul, restores my soul. Look, God is in the business of restoring our souls, no matter where we are today. I mean, like Chip and Joanna are in the business of restoring old houses, all right? Or like my friend Dean or Tony are in the business of restoring old cars, all right? Like taking these dilapidated, you know, good for nothing things and making them, like, look, that's what our souls are like sometimes. We need caring for, we need protecting, we need leading. And what God does is he restores our soul when our souls need restoring and rebuilding and refreshing and remaking. That's what the shepherd does. And he will lead us to that place. And he does it by leading us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Because there's a really good chance my soul got the way that it is because I was doing unrighteous things. I was doing things. God leads us in the paths of righteousness. Again, I think of these sheep. They get off path. They get lost. They get, you know, look, the shepherd will lead them to the right place. And God's ways are always right. And his words are always true. And why? Why all this important? Well, for his name's sake. Just soak that in. His name's sake. This is all for his glory, for the reputation of the shepherd. For our Father in heaven, as Jesus prayed, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about God's name, making him famous. It's not about you, and it's not about Joe, and it's not about CCW. It's, look, not for our name's sake, but for his name's sake. And he gets the glory. He is the shepherd. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is heavy stuff. Shepherd had a responsibility. The Hebrew word here means this dark, dangerous place where literally death is threatening. These mountain places where predators were surrounding the sheep. It was the shepherd's job to lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. And facing death, let's be honest, facing death can be one of those dark places. It can cast fear over us, a shadow. If it's not our own death, it might be someone else's, the shadow of grief, of pain, hurts. And shepherds had the responsibility of leading the sheep through those valleys, just like God has the, he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, not away from them. Shepherds don't say, oh, here's trouble, and hightail it and run. We don't run from the shadow of death. And we don't camp out there either. You don't stay there. God leads us through, sometimes slowly, the valley of the shadow of death is our shepherd. And I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I hope you know this morning. We follow a shepherd who is with us. God walks with us. He's got us. As a shepherd leads, sheep don't fear. Sheep follow. And the shepherd walks beside them, leading them, guiding them, protecting them. The shepherd's not going to walk behind. I don't know if you ever walked behind a sheep. You don't want to do that. Shepherd don't walk behind the sheep. Shepherd walks beside them or in front of them. So if you're getting out in front of the shepherd, careful. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod, your staff, these were the tools of the shepherd. All right, now I stole my father-in-law's staff today, all right? So, Dad, if you're watching, I've got it, all right? But this is a tool for the shepherd. And no father-in-law jokes, all right, about the rod, all right? I know how dangerous these things can be. But a shepherd used a rod and a staff for a very important reason, to protect the sheep if enemies were to come, but also to guide and to discipline the sheep. You see, sheep are famous for getting lost, for guiding, for going off the path. They'd wander right off the side of a cliff. So the shepherd had a staff, had a rod to guide them, to set boundaries, to establish those boundaries, and to discipline the sheep if necessary. Because you know what's worse than discipline? Death. One thing worse than discipline is falling. Look, God loves us and he cares for us. He knows what's best for us. And he will guide us even if it takes discipline, even if it takes setting boundaries. Parents, we know this. We've got a tough tough job of disciplining our kids, but it's for the long run. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. It might not be comfortable now. My mom comforted me with a rod a few times when I was little. I didn't tell you that. It wasn't very comforting at the time. But I'm so glad they did. My parents did that. The rod and the staff, they comfort us, they bring safety, they teach us and guide us and lead us, because that's what shepherds do for the sheep. And verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Remember again, this is King David who is writing this, the king. The king of Israel is depending on God as his shepherd. You see, he knows that it is God alone for his glory that brought him the victory, put him in the place that he is, God and God alone over his enemies, that he anointed David. Remember, we talked about this last series, set apart. God anointed his head with oil and made him king and blessed his life. That's the shepherd we have. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me this all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, I just see David just sitting and thinking and looking back. And I hope you get a chance to do that sometimes. Because when I do, when I look back and I see those words, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. My life. I can tell you, following the Lord day by day, week by week, months by months, they turn into years, and you look back over your shoulder and you realize, yes. Even when it didn't feel like it, even when it didn't see it, his goodness, his mercy were following me all the days of my life. It's a good shepherd. And even though we might not see it at the time, God will lead us. He always has and he always will. And I love how as David looks back, he's also looking at the future. See, Psalm 23 reminds us that we can look ahead with confidence. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So even if today doesn't seem like it, we can take hope and comfort in this promise. I love this psalm, Psalm 23, because it takes me to my shepherd in the darkest times of life. It's just a great place to turn to. And our prayer times, we can turn there. When you're at the bedside of someone who's sick or dying, it's Psalm 23. Again, maybe even this week, as I did a funeral this week, Psalm 23, because it brings comfort to the family. It's powerful. And in worship, it truly reminds us that we can know and we can love and we can follow the Lord as our shepherd. And he cares for us in a real, powerful, everyday way. The Lord is our shepherd. God cares for his people. So as we think about that today, of course, the question is, are you his? Are you his? Because if you're his person, if you belong to him, then you can claim this promise for his people. You can. Me, us, his sheep. I'm good with being a sheep if he's the shepherd. That's why these promises that he made in Psalm 23, and I just want to give you a quick review of them. If you'll say them with me, I mean, just look, he cares for, look, how many me's are out there, all right? Y'all, this is personal stuff. Raise your hand if you're a me, all right? Look, put yourself here, all right? He cares for me like a shepherd, verse 1, right. He is trustworthy and provides for me. You say your name if you want to. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Yes, he leads me besides the water. You're still with me? Me's. All right. Look, this is us. This is you. This is me. He leads me. He restores my soul. Right. He leads me in the right paths. He is with me even in the darkest times. He comforts me with a rod and a staff. He sets me apart. He blesses me with goodness. He gives me confidence and faith for the future. Praise the Lord. This psalm is for you and for me, for us. The Lord is our shepherd. He cares for his people. And another great, powerful thing we see in Psalm 23 is what biblical servant leadership looks like. Biblical servant leadership. This is one of the greatest leadership passages in the entire Bible. In fact, in all of literature together. Our author of Core 52, Mark Moore, he says some really cool things about bad shepherds and good shepherds. Okay, I want you to read that this week. You'll see it, because bad shepherds are dangerous. In fact, I heard a story this week of a modern day shepherd, had his sheep with him. They're walking down the road. It's a really hot day. He's got all this like stuff on and everything. And then all of a sudden he looks back and one of the sheep has poof, collapsed. Like, oh, what's happened to my sheep? And he goes back and he gets the sheep and he finds out that this sheep might be dead. Like, ah, so he gets his cell phone out and he calls the sheep veterinarian on the phone. I don't know. And so you got to help me out. My sheep collapsed. I think it might be dead. And the nurse on the other side goes, well, the first thing you need to do is make sure the sheep is dead. And so phone goes silent. Next thing you hear, boom, shotgun. Shepherd gets back on the phone and says, okay, now what? That is a bad shepherd, all right? And a really bad joke, too. Look, the fact of the matter is, we know what bad shepherds look like when we see them, right? But Psalm 23 shows us what good shepherds, what biblical servant leaders look like. Leaders to follow. Leaders lead. They lead. And they guide to places like we've read about. They protect and they care for the sheep. It's all right here, specifically Psalm 23. And we see it. We see how the Lord guides. We see how the Lord protects. We see how the Lord cares for his people. So in light of this, good leaders will do the same thing. Shepherds, for instance, serve their sheep. They do. I mean, the shepherds serve their sheep. Leaders serve others. Good leaders serve it. Dads, serve your kids, serve your wives. Wives, serve your households. I mean, people, schools, wherever you come from, leaders serve, humbly serve. Leaders are trained, they're brave, hardworking, and loving. They know their sheep by name. They care, and they lead. They lead to green pastures. And leaders don't spoon feed the sheep, but they'll take them somewhere where they can find good stuff. Still waters. Paths of righteousness. They lead. They lead through dark times. They train others up. They set them apart. Anoint them. They bless them along the way. So throughout the Bible, we see this shepherd mentality in all the great leaders of God. We've seen, again, some in the Old Testament already. Great stories. And in the New Testament, we see this model of leadership right there with it, shepherding. The New Testament model for leadership, first and foremost with Jesus himself, the Messiah, the good shepherd. You see, Jesus was a servant leader, the lead shepherd. Jesus modeled service from the minute he stepped on the planet. In fact, he said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the one who said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you need to be a servant. Was Jesus, Ephesians 4 says, that set apart the servants of God, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, who were called shepherds, teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, servant leadership. And we see this kind of leadership all through the New Testament. God establishes shepherds. In fact, he calls them a specific name, elders. This is an interchangeable term, shepherds, elders, pastors. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. We also see along the way deacons, which we call ministry leaders here, and people that are doing the work, but as servant leaders. Now, specifically this morning, this title of elder, title of shepherd, pastor, all interchangeable. This is an interesting word. See, the word shepherd in the New Testament is the translation of the Greek word poimen. Poimen is translated pastor in other places. So the poimen is someone who tends to the herds or the flocks. And this word is used metaphorically today for Christian pastors. Because pastors, elders, should lead and protect and care for the flock of God through the work of God. And I love 1 Peter chapter 5. You guys, 1 Peter chapter 5, because it says here that the Lord Jesus himself is not just a poimen or a shepherd, but the arch poimen. He is the chief shepherd. He is the lead shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, listen to the words. I just want to read them. To the elders among you, to the pastors, the shepherds among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings. This is Peter talking, firsthand witness of Christ's sufferings, who also share in the glory to be revealed. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock who are under your care. See this servant leadership, watching over them. Lead, protect, care. And not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those who are entrusted to you. Again, it's responsibility. Entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And verse 4, talking about Jesus. When the chief shepherd appears, the arch point, this chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What a promise. So Jesus is the chief shepherd. I get asked all the time, who's the lead pastor of this church? Jesus is the lead pastor of this church. Jesus is the lead pastor of his church. Man, and anyone else who is a shepherd or an elder is an under shepherd, and all of us are his sheep to be led by the good shepherd. And this New Testament model is literally what we try to follow here at CCW as an example for us. So what you see here when you hear about our elders, you hear about our ministry leaders and small group leaders is this New Testament model of servant leadership. Number one, shepherd is Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone when it comes to servant leadership. He is our boss. And then we see this model of elders or shepherds. We've got elders here. We've got 8 of us right now that serve our congregation as shepherds of the flock. Meet every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. It's not a board decision-making group. These are people men who are in the trenches, who pray, who minister in the hospitals. They lead small groups. Last week, John Campbell came up and he preached. He's one of our elders. Next week, Chris will be preaching. I mean, our elders are... they serve the sheep, but they love you, and I love you, and I love them, and I'm so proud to be able to serve with them. In fact, I'm going to ask if they would, our elders who are here in second service, to come up front after the service, and they'll pray with you, and you can get to know them. I know I'm just kind of springing this on you, but just a phenomenal thing. We also see staff. We see ministry leaders here at CCW. These are kind of like our deacons. Some of our staff members are also pastors. They've been ordained, but all of us lead ministries of some sort. And whether it's preschool or elementary or in our cafe, these ministry leaders are also pastors and shepherds of their ministry teams. Our small group leaders are trained to pastor their small groups. This is exciting because we've got 42 small groups, not including care groups, not including table groups, just discipleship groups at CCW. 42 groups, well over 300 people are a part of those groups, and they're being pastored and shepherded by their small group leaders. Not by me. That's a lot of people for Joe. That's a lot of people for our elders, but our small group leaders are there. They're in the hospitals. They're praying for. They're leading them to green pastures. They're small groups into the Word of God. Thank you. If you are a small group leader, praise God for you. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you. Our disciple makers, man, let's just go to Matthew 28. We are called to make disciples of all nations. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you are a shepherd. You are a disciple maker. You are a leader. And maybe it's to your neighbor, maybe it's to your household, maybe it's to somebody in school, if you're a student or where you work, you are a leader and a disciple maker and a shepherd. And then parents, kids, you name it. I believe every single one of us, to some degree, is called to shepherd, to lead, to protect, and to care for those around us if we follow the Lord as our shepherd. Yes, there are specific titles, these elders, but again, this is a calling for our men who are elders. It's not a title or a role or something. This is a calling that they do. And the fact of the matter is here at CCW, if I can just be honest with you, among us, there aren't any perfect leaders. Shocker. All right, look, none of us are perfect. I don't even claim to be. We've got a perfect shepherd. But we're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. So if you're looking for that kind of leadership in a church, you're going to be disappointed. But our heart's in the right place. Again, we're not here. We're servant leaders, lifting up the body, caring for the sheep. And our heart's in the right place, which is why it's such a privilege to be able to serve together with you. And I'm looking across the audience, and I'm seeing a group full of, watching online, you are serving and shepherding people. Thank you for what you do. we're going to fall short. And the Old Testament leaders, they fell short. King David, King David messed up. But you know what the Old Testament leaders did? They pointed, in their imperfection, they pointed to a perfect Messiah. And the New Testament leaders, those shepherds, they weren't perfect either. But they pointed to a perfect Savior, Jesus. And today, here at CCW, we're not perfect leaders, but we are going to point to a perfect shepherd, to the good shepherd himself, Jesus. There is one good, perfect shepherd. And Psalm 23 actually shows us not only how God cares for his people and how we have this biblical model of servant leadership, but also the greatest example of both, and that is Jesus, the good shepherd. The perfect example of what it looks like. I love how Mark Moore puts it in the book, in our Core 52 book. It says, by the end of the Bible, the shepherd of Psalm 23 has a new name, a new face, and a new mailing address. It's Jesus. Yahweh in the flesh. Jesus, when God became a man and lived among us, so he could shepherd us. John chapter 10. Again, oh my God, if you have John 10, go ahead and take a look. I just want to read this as I get ready to close this morning. John chapter 10, the words of Jesus himself came from heaven to earth, perfect Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's why he came, to lay down his life for his sheep. Verse 12 says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him up and scatters him out. And this guy flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I just got to say this, because a lot of churches, and maybe you came from one where things got tough and the pastors bailed. Or maybe the elders gave up. Look, I'm here to tell you this morning that we have a good shepherd, Jesus, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you're sitting in a church with a group of men and a group of, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to flee when the times get tough. Maybe you sense that over the last year during COVID-19. We are going to be here and shepherd and lead and grow right alongside of you. Our shepherds, our elders, our staff, our small group leaders are here because we love and we care and protect. Look, there's a warning here from Jesus not to flee when times get tough. And he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Again, this is Jesus like giving us his pat. Like, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. We know the shepherd this morning. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Jesus says, I must bring them and they'll listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about the Gentiles because he's talking to Jews here. So it'll be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. And verse 18, no one takes it from me. No one takes my life from me. I lay down my life on my own accord, and I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take up my life again. And this is the charge that I received from my Father. What is Jesus talking about? He is talking about what we're going to be talking about in the next 2 weeks. And people around the world are going to be celebrating that Jesus came to Jerusalem to lay down his life for his sheep on the way to Calvary, to give his life on the cross willingly for you and for me, that he would die a brutal death on it, which is another ironic twist that the good shepherd would also be the Lamb of God. We're going to celebrate Easter together. Jesus laid down his life so that we can have forgiveness of our sins, so that we can have life in his name. And then after 3 days in the grave, Jesus took his life up again, just like he said he would in John chapter 10. He rose from the dead. We call that Easter. We call that celebrating. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in just 2 weeks, April 4th. I hope you'll be there for that. Don't miss Easter. If you're watching online, you're waiting for a Sunday to come back and circle April 4th. Be here. Don't miss Easter. But more importantly, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss the resurrection of Jesus. He is our Lord and our leader, our protector, our caregiver, our risen Savior, the Good Shepherd. And I hope you know him this morning. I hope you're following him this morning. I hope you know him and love him and follow him as the Good Shepherd, because you can. You can. He has made himself available to us. The Lord can be your shepherd. And if you follow Jesus on earth, you get to follow him to heaven and dwell in his house forever and ever and ever. You know, maybe you know Jesus and you know that you're like a lost sheep and you just kind of been wandering around, but you know Jesus is the Good Shepherd and you want to follow him with your life, but you've never made that decision. Maybe it was something you've never chosen to do. I want to tell you, you can make that decision today. You can decide once and for all and forever to follow the Lord Jesus as your shepherd. Confess Jesus is Lord. Give him your life. Repent of your sins. Turn from your old life and be baptized into Christ. You talk about still waters, they're waiting right there. You could walk out of here a brand new person with a brand new shepherd. And maybe today, you're like a sheep that's gone astray. You've wandered off that path of righteousness. I want to tell you something. It is not too late, and you are not too far from God to come back to him, to return to him, to get back on that path. 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle says, you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd. You can return to the shepherd this morning, the overseer of your souls. And I hope that you'll do that today. Again, no matter where you came from, to follow him as the Good Shepherd. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come in just a moment when we sing this song. Our elders will be up here. Like I said, we'll be up here to meet with you, to talk with you. Maybe you came here this morning with a spiritual mentor, or you're sitting next to one in your living room today. Ask them, hey, tell me more about the Good Shepherd. Seek them out. There's some things in your sermon notes that might be able to help you out. If you open those up, you'll find things like that are on the screen. I would encourage you, fill in Psalm 23 using your name. We kind of practiced that already this morning. Take some time to do that, and then make that your prayer this week. Internalize it, memorize it, or maybe decide and do this. Be a leader this week. Say, "Hey, look, I'm gonna under the chief shepherd, I'm gonna protect and care for one person. Think of one person's name right now. Maybe in your house, maybe where you live, where you go to work, and write their name down, and then go be a servant leader to that person, wherever it is, at work, at school. And I want you to write a date down. A time, a day. On Wednesday, I'm going to serve my mom." Write it down. Make it your prayer this week. Psalm 23. Got all kinds of ideas in our Core 52 chapter this week. You can check that out and do that. But right now, as we close, we get ready to sing, I want to do something as one of your pastors here, and I just ask you if you would. This is something you can do with the entire Psalms playlist, pretty much, and that is to pray the Psalms. And I'd like to take a moment this morning just to, as his sheep, as his flock, to lift up this congregation, to lift up you and your life and me and mine together using Psalm 23. So if you'll do that, if you would, just go ahead and stand with me, and it's going to be on the screen. If you want to read it along, you can. If you want to be quiet, you can. If you want to just bend on your knees or whatever it might be, just to make Psalm 23 your prayer this morning for us, his flock here at CCW, and for you and your life. Let's pray together. Lord, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. Make us lie down in green pastures. Lead us beside still waters. Restore our souls, God, please. Restore our souls. And lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil, and our cup, God, thank you, our cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Praise the Lord. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen.